fighting for America.
We did exactly what needed to be done in order to catch those who were guilty on 9/11 and to prevent a further attack. And we were successful on both parts.
This report says it was not successful.
The report's full of crap.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president has the legal authority now. It's exactly the same legal authority that he had 6 years ago, and he didn't do anything about it. And since then, he has deported more than 2 million immigrants.
Fighting for you.
No, Kevin, yes. I logged 35,000 miles on my Chevy pickup in the last year.
I hope it wasn't a lease.
No, it wasn't. And our roads aren't bad.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you for starting your day with us. Kevin Miller with us, 580 KIDO. For years, he has been the vanguard of truth against the American left. He's our great friend, David Horowitz, the great betrayal, the Democrats' great betrayal of U.S. foreign policy, the Black Book of American Left, Volume 3, The Great Betrayal. David, I've had you on in Alabama and Carolina and now here in Idaho. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you. It's actually the Democrats' betrayal of their own country, of America. Because what they did during the Iraq War is the greatest act of, I would say, even treason in the history of this country, not counting the Civil War. We've never had a case before where America is at war with a monstrous enemy and a major political party decides to stab America in the back and its troops in the field as well, which is what happened during the Iraq War, although Republicans are so tongue-tied that few conservatives even realize what happened. The Democrats voted for the war, sent our young men and women into harm's way, and 3 months into the war turned against it and started calling our commander-in-chief a liar, saying Bush lied, people died, saying these are Al Gore's words, that he supported the war, that the war was immoral, illegal, and unnecessary. In other words, America was a war criminal and an aggressor. These acts demoralized the troops. They demoralized the American population. They made it impossible for us to follow the weapons of mass destruction into Syria, the chemical weapons, which Assad has now used against his own people. They made it impossible to punish Iran, which was supplying the IEDs that were blowing Americans up. All those wounded warriors, or most of them that you see on television and the ads, were blown up by Iranian IEDs. Iran was never punished because Bush was fighting another war on the home front against attacks that were more vicious than any ever conducted against an American president. And that's what my book, The Great Betrayal, is about. The Democrats turned against the war, not because of anything that was going on in Iraq. This is 3 months in. They turned against it because it was a Democratic presidential primary, and an anti-war radical from the 60s, Howard Dean, was running away with the nomination. He was getting 45% to Kerry's 15. Kerry then just turned 180 degrees, turned his back on everything he said about why the war was necessary, and started attacking Bush with the rest of the Democratic Party as a liar. If you read psychological warfare manuals, the first thing that they say is that you have to attack the moral character of the commander-in-chief. And that's what the Democrat leaders did. It's very different when these nuts in the streets say Bush is a Hitler or a liar, because they have no idea of how the world works. But Kerry sat on the intelligence committees. He had all the intelligence data that Bush did. So when he called Bush a liar, saying he lied about the intelligence, that lie is classic psychological warfare, and he did it against his own country. And now he's Secretary of State.
David Horowitz with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. What was the impact that had those criticisms of President Bush internationally. Was that aid and comfort to the enemy?
Totally. You know, they tried to cut off funding for the troops during the surge, which we fortunately won and crushed the Al-Qaeda until Obama let them back in. Of course, it was aid and comfort to the enemy. There were three major national security programs. One, for example, was that were leaked and printed in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and that destroyed them. One of them was that we were tracking terrorist funding and obviously their links and connections with the cooperation of European banks. Well, once the Times and the White House begged the Times not to print this, once they printed it, the terrorists know that we're tracking them that way. So they changed their method of operation. Of course it was aid to the terrorists. There were 1 million people in the streets in the buildup to the Iraq war attacking America and claiming to be an anti-war movement, which, of course, the whole media and, of course, conservatives, they're so well-meaning, go. But it wasn't an anti-war movement. If it was, there would have been demonstrations in front of the Iraq embassy demanding that Saddam Hussein comply with 17 UN Security Council resolutions designed to keep them from building weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, again, it seems to me that we take a look at this and the president, President Bush, never had a chance when it comes to not only the Democrats, but his acolytes in the media.
Well, because the media are left-wingers. You know, they're the people who attacked us during the Vietnam War and got 2.5 million Cambodians and Vietnamese slaughtered at the hands of the communists whom they helped to power. To restore America, you have to restore the language and start calling things by their right name. Democrats have sabotaged the war on terror for over 10 years. They don't like the idea that it's a war. They think that we're aggressors. They ignore the fact that these Islamic fascists have declared war on us. So they want to make it court cases where the defendants, the terrorist defendants, will get the rights of Americans to defend themselves and pretend that they're innocent and just use up our money and time and waste it. Obama calls the war on terror, which is really, it's a war against the Islamic Jihad. That's what it is. But he calls it overseas contingency operations, which describe nothing. And when there's an Islamist behead somebody in Oklahoma, as happened a few months ago, he calls it workplace violence.
Exactly. David Horowitz with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Of course, you can always catch us on Facebook and Twitter and the like. The Black Book of the American Left, Volume 3, The Great Betrayal. As we move along, Mr. Horowitz, you are such a big advocate of Israel. Is this the worst situation we've seen with our two great nations, our relationship with the Israelis?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Obama hates Jews and hates Israel. There's no question about it. The way he also doesn't care much for Christians, since he let 200,000 of them be slaughtered in Iraq before he was forced to do anything. You can't tell me Obama is a Christian. I see Israel as the frontline state. That is, that's a Muslim war against the Jews. The idea that there's a peace process is completely absurd, and it's because of Kerry and Obama, and before him, you know, Bush and Condoleezza Rice, and all. You know, it's because of American pressure that the Israel even has to participate. You can't participate in a peace people who want to exterminate you. And they say it very, you know, they want to liberate Palestine, which is a fictional entity, from the river to the sea. That's the two borders of Israel. They want to wipe Israel from the face of the map. And they have, you know, Ahmadinejad, the dictator of Iran, you know, he's led crowds in chants, and so has Hezbollah, of death to America, death to Israel. Name me one Muslim head of state. There are 57 Islamic states who's condemned Ahmadinejad for that. So we're facing a massive threat here. And we have somebody in the White House who despises America, hates our military, and basically wants us to lose this war.
How is he a product of the leftists in the 60s, sir?
Yeah, I was brought up by America, by communists, and then went on to the so-called New Left, which is a continuation of the communist left, and then left. Obama had the same upbringing I did. He was brought up by communists. He entered the left, and he never left it. So you have, you know, people may be shocked if I say this, but you have a neo-communist president in the White House. And these people are very smart. They get their guidance from Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, where he says that you don't do what we did in the 60s. I mean, he says it in so many words. You know, we said burn it down. We want a revolution now. He said that just turned people off. What you have to do is get inside the Democratic Party, and then you don't push anything further than the political climate allows you. So they pretend to, you know, Obama says nice things about America, but he doesn't do nice things for America. They're destroying our southern border. It's not just Obama. Valerie Jarrett, who is the woman who runs Obama in the White House and has since he was in Chicago, she was raised by Iranian communists, and she's another person who never left the left. And I know this because if you are part of a movement like the left, which is evil and wants to destroy America, the first thing you do when you see that is you want to warn other people and you want to repudiate the left. But they haven't done that. They're still part of it, which is sad for America. I mean, this guy is bankrupting the country. I think he's accumulated 70% of the national debt since George Washington's days. He's destroyed our southern border. He's using the IRS, and Obama is behind all the scandals, and you know that because he hasn't fired anybody. I mean, if he was embarrassed by them, he would be firing people, but he approves them and obviously gave them the green light. But they're using the IRS to suppress conservatives and create a one-party state. They have this big campaign to protect voting fraud. They use the race issue. We have lynch mobs now in the streets. I mean, it started in Ferguson, but nobody called it a lynch mob, but that's what it was. They wanted to hang the white police officer because he was white. They didn't. Well, this is before there were any facts, or else we're going to burn your town down. No justice, no peace is a lynch mob threat. Now it's spread because people have, and it's led by the President of the United States and the Attorney General and his racist in chief, who's he's been to the White House 83 times, Al Sharpton, the nation's leading lynch mob leader. And now it's spread, of course, to streets all across America. And it's the same people who went out to attack us during the Iraq War. These are anti-American radicals. They're young people who've been brainwashed in our K-12 schools and universities by leftists who've taken them over.
More coming up with David Horowitz, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. It is time for traffic at 580 KIDO. That means Dave Burnett standing by. Don't forget weather as well from Larry Gebert from Channel 7. Why don't we do that right now? All right. Travis.
In your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
Up all night. 580 KIDO, David Horowitz with us. The Great Betrayal, the Democrats' Great Betrayal of U.S. Foreign Policy. This is a third in a series, The Black Book of American Left, Volume 3, The Great Betrayal. How safe do you feel, sir? I mean, you've been at this for years, fighting the left, and a lot of people make threats against you.
It's a good question. I bought my first guns when I did a story on the Black Panther Party. They were. You know, I was more worried. I wrote a book called Unholy Alliance, Radical Islam and the American Left, about how the American Left was cooperating with the Islamic enemy, even though the Islamists oppress women. You know, they're 7th century, 7th century. And at that time, when I wrote that book, I was a little nervous because there were only a handful of us saying these things. But now, you know, 10 years, we've educated a lot of conservatives. And ISIS has educated a lot of people. I mean, watching Americans get beheaded, children beheaded, Christians slaughtered, has waked up a lot of the American people. So I'm not as concerned as I was. I think it would be, I mean, I don't know anybody whom they've assassinated in this country, and it would work very badly for them if there was such a case.
How different is ISIS from the threats we faced in the past, sir?
It's not. It's not different. What organizes, people always ask me, is there a communist party? How does the left coordinate its actions? You know, how do they get people out like they get them out? And the answer is not a party, but an idea. And the left's idea is that you can create this perfect world of social justice. And so they're not concerned at all about the facts. If you watch them on going up against Megyn Kelly or Hannity or on Fox, you can see they don't care about the facts. Hands up, don't shoot. Well, the autopsy showed that his hands weren't up. But that doesn't matter to them because they're pursuing this world of social justice where white people are put down and black people and people of color rule. The whites in it, that's their vision too. So it's the communist idea basically. That's why I like to call them neo-communists. Although I know I'm not going to get too many people to sign on to it, but that's actually what they are. They have this vision of what's good for us, and they're going to force it on us. Well, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and 100 other terrorist organizations have the same sort of idea. The idea is that they will subdue the world and under Islam, their version of Islam, and it'll be a perfect place. So ISIS is really no different from Al-Qaeda. I mean, tactically, these public beheadings. But, you know, it all comes from the Quran, strike the infidel in the neck. I mean, this is a religious, fanatical religious movement. And in our country, everybody's tongue-tied. They don't want to call it that. They don't want to see what it actually is. That's what organizes them. That's how they get, you know, their tactics of killing Christians and Jews. It's all in the Quran.
Well, and we seem to be hamstrung by being overly politically correct in handling these folks.
Yeah, we're way too tolerant as a country, and we're way too intimidated. Conservatives and Republicans are way too intimidated by the left, which is the Democratic Party, and then their, you know, their grassroots. Way too intimidated. How come nobody's calling Obama and Holder a racist for a meeting with Al Sharpton? Not only meeting him, but anointing him as a leader. Al Sharpton is a racist. His whole life has been spent attacking white people and defending black criminals. That's who Sharpton is, and that's who the president has anointed as his, you know, as his chief advisor on race relations. How come nobody's calling the Ferguson lynch mob a lynch mob, and now they're out in the streets over this guy Garner? These are lynchers. They want to make it racial. They're racists. Everybody in that in the streets is a racist. Well, you know, of course, there are a lot of, you know, stupid and naive people who don't understand what they're doing. But what are they calling for? They're calling for hanging another white cop after a grand jury that was composed of, I think it was nine people of color out of 12, said he should not be indicted. You know, the sergeant in charge during that arrest who was there was an African-American woman. The New York police force is majority minority people, people of color, as they like to call them, colored people. That's the majority of the NYPD. And yet they're out there calling them white racists. You know, it would be laughable, except this is a serious movement. And my hope is it will drag the Democratic Party down and we'll get a Republican president in 2016.
More coming up with David Horowitz next. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, David Horowitz with us once again. Earlier you were saying it would be great if we could get a Republican president. How Republican will the next Republican president be, sir?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. But I think what's happening here is that Obama's narcissism, and he can't admit that he made a mistake. Or that he lost an election. He can't in his head do that. So he, for example, did this executive action of amnesty for basically all the illegals here, but in his version for 5 million. That's forced the Republicans to be a little stronger. If Obama hadn't done that, Boehner would have cut a deal with him to grant the amnesty. So what the left does is affecting Republicans and making a lot of them stronger. That's what I believe. Now, you know, I think, you know, there are candidates out there that worry me greatly, like Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney, who probably have the best chance. And I'm not thrilled with Christie because he's very bad on the Islamic threat, and that's the big threat that we're going to face. So we'll see. I think the most important thing is the grassroots tea parties. Try to keep these Republicans honest.
Boy, they're so vilified these days.
Well, yeah, because that's for them, that's a badge of honor. That means that they're having an effect. Look, politics is dirty, nasty street fight. That's what it is. And Republicans and conservatives and even Tea Partiers have been at a real disadvantage because they're polite people and they're well brought up. When they're out on the mall, they clean up, you know, whatever mess they made. They're good people. And you know, this is a fight where the Democrats are bringing knives and bats and guns, and our side has to do the same. I wrote a book about this called Take No Prisoners that came out in July. When I hear Republicans start calling Democrats racists and referring to the mobs as lynch mobs, I'll know that we've entered a new era.
David Horowitz with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. What's it been like for you to be on the front lines, though, to go to these college campuses and to take these folks on?
Well, you know, it's always unpleasant. I was brought up, I was brought up by communists, so I was brought up to fight. Republicans and conservatives are brought up to build businesses and do creative things and not get into fights. It's a huge problem. So when I go to a college campus, you know, when I first did it, and they called me all kinds of names, they demonstrated inside the halls where I was speaking. I admit there was some frustration and some pain. But I did it, or I've done it for over 20 years. I've been to 400 campuses. And I kind of enjoy the battle. And I know that when we're out there, I held 100 Islamofascism Awareness Weeks. I know that word Islamofascism got into people's heads. And that's really important. So I was brought up for the battle.
What about the lack of critical thinking skills because we don't have the media reporting anymore? We have the indoctrination.
Well, the media problem is the university problem. They all come out of left-wing courses in the university. But, look, the Internet is out there. We get a tremendous amount of information out on the Internet. I think the biggest problem is that conservatives are very conservative. They don't want to get into a dogfight. And they're too busy, creating businesses and so forth. And they have, until Obama and until really recently, they've been very complacent about the opponents they're facing. They don't see how malicious they are and how their designs are so destructive to this country. I think conservatives have been waking up, and that's good.
Well, hopefully it's not too late when we think of the country.
Well, that's the big question.
Yeah,
exactly. There's a race between conservatives waking up and the socialist left, which is the Democratic Party, destroying the country. Yeah, but, you know, it's not incompetence. The incompetence is the socialist idea. Socialism doesn't work. It's not based on human nature. So they have to force people to do what they think is good for them. And Obamacare is a perfect example. And as Jonathan Gruber just blurted it all out. You know, they had to lie. They knew they had to lie. So they lied about everything. They concealed that it was a tax. They said you could keep your doctor and your plan. They said it was going to lower costs. These were all lies. And why did they do it? They did it because in their minds, Obamacare is the cornerstone of the socialist future because it puts everybody in control of the government. Our Republicans have not fought this well. I mean, I've heard Rand Paul do it right, and Jeff Sessions do it right. But most Republicans are not talking about freedom. When you lose control of your body, of your health care, you're under the thumb of a dictatorial government. And that's what's happened. I mean, Sarah Palin was right. Of course there are going to be death panels. And they're going to be pre-death panels where they'll say, you know, you're 75, which I am, so we're not going to let you have this medicine. We're going to give it to somebody else. And, of course, it's a massive redistribution of income, all these subsidies. all forcing young people who don't need the insurance into the program to finance people like me that need it. It is terrible what they did, but it's backfiring. It's not working. And I think it played a big role in their defeat at the polls in November. My concern, of course, is that some of that defeat is because at the midterms, their constituencies don't come out to vote. So I'm worried about 2016. I'd like to see a fighter up there.
Well, but here's the skinny on this, Mr. Horowitz at 580KIDO, is that you got the media that just perpetrates the lies.
Well, we beat the media. I mean, if it were up to the media, Republicans would never win an election. And I've often said that. I mean, it's a miracle that Republicans win any election, because the left, with lies and lies and lies and slanders, that's what they do. That's all they really know how to do. They control the universities and the K-12 schools, and they recruit people in K-12 to go out and vote for Democrats. They control the media. They're dominant now in the judiciary. You could just go on and on. How in the world does a Republican get elected? But they do. Conservatives get elected, and that's because the schemes of the left, the socialist schemes, don't work. I mean, this communist in New York, Mayor de Blasio, look, it's in the Garner case. Why is Garner standing on a street corner making a buck selling loose cigarettes? Because the anti-smoking nutcases and the socialist mayor, communist is what he is, de Blasio, imposed a $6 a pack tax on it to force them to stop smoking. So what that did is it created a black market, which this guy Garner was, part of. That's one case. Obamacare is another. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Letting the, whatever it is, he's going to let 30 or 40 million illegals, many of them carrying tropical diseases, many of them criminals, some of them terrorists, into the United States is not going to make people happy. So on the ground where people are, they're, getting the whatever it is, the short end of the stick, and they're getting the stick, and they don't like it. And that's how Republicans win. So, and then there's, of course, there is the Internet, which is a counter to the – there's an awful lot of people on the Internet. We have to win back the culture. The fact that Hollywood is so left is a real problem, because people get their news through Jon Stewart, and they get their news, through not so subtle messages in movies and on these late night comedian shows. That is a problem, but I think we're slowly dealing with it.
Well, David Horowitz, we do appreciate it. One more time, if people are interested in your book, sir.
If you're interested, and I hope you are, in The Great Betrayal, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in Barnes & Noble, or they'll order it if they don't have it on the shelves. You can get it at frontpagemagazine.com, and you can get it at a website called blackbookoftheamericanleft.com.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to Kevin Miller.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you. Thank you all for joining us. It has been years since I've had the opportunity to speak with David Horowitz. And if you don't know about him, Google him, Wikipedia, Mr. Horowitz. A lot of controversial statements. He tells it like it is, and it's still at the age of 75, you'll find him at college campuses all over the country debating the big issues of the day and telling it like he sees it. I think the world would be better if we had more discussions like what we just had with Mr. Horowitz. My concern for whoever runs in Idaho and in America, and if you're a conservative, not necessarily saying that if you're a Republican, but if you're a conservative, is to break through the media bias. Take a look at some of the grassroots groups that have done nothing wrong in this country that Mr. Horowitz has mentioned, and yet they're vilified. They're taken down. People say they're too extreme. Well, tell me about being extreme. Is it balancing the budget? Is it getting this trade balance that we have with China back to the proper proportions? Is it giving kids jobs so they can earn their jobs? I mean, that's really what these grassroots groups are about. And it would be nice to see if you had had, you know, the left version of these conservative movements in bringing our government back. You know, it's very easy for me to play the Chris Troupas clip about everybody checking out. And let's face it, we've been through a year of some bad news, not as bad as the Great Recession when it hit, but whether it's ISIS, Ebola, the economy, Iraq, Afghanistan, it's just been overwhelming. Never mind Ferguson or the Garner case. You know, after a while, people just get tired of it. But you have to go back to our founding fathers that had many defeats, that did the unthinkable and beat the unbeatable. That's fact, not cliche. We owe it to them, or if not to them, to your kids and your kids' kids, to be involved, right? Let's hope we're more involved than they are. Think about that, right? It is Kevin Miller. You're listening to...